Hi, guys. This is Rajiv S. Khanna for immigration.com, Law Office of Rajiv S. Khanna, PC. Today is Thursday, April 26, 2012. This is a community conference call. By participating in this call, you don't become our clients, and we don't become your lawyers. This is merely a matter of courtesy. Note that this call is being recorded, so if you speak up, your voice, your questions will be publicly available. If you'd rather not be recorded, either disguise your identity or, I guess, just listen in. Okay? That said, let me go over the questions real quickly. I was telling a gentleman who was speaking with me just a minute ago, I think we have enough time for everybody's questions. And none of these questions are too long. So let's start with Rahul Gopal Joshi. Portability of H-1 beyond 6 years. Currently on H-1B, PERM is applied under EB-2 approved. I-140 is filed, but PD is not current, so 45 is not applied. So most likely 6 years will end, then I will get an extension for 3 years. That is correct. Now, if I need to switch employers and the new employer is ready to start PERM process and I-140, PD can get ported in that case, right? Well, if you had asked me this question a week ago, I would have said, I don't know, because USCIS has been flip-flopping on this. But this morning, I have posted a video. It's available both on my blog as well as immigration.com main page, where USCIS has finally said that even if the old employer revokes your I-140, we will let you keep your priority date unless the revocation was for some kind of fraud or willful misrepresentation. Okay? So the PD can be ported, yes. Then is the H-1B beyond 6 years considered portable? Well, the way it works is, the way I would do it if I were you, I would continue working with the old employer and get an H-1 extension through the new employer. And until that extension is approved, I won't join the new employer. So the new employer can get an H-1 extension based upon the I-140 approval of the old employer. Okay? The extension of the H-1 and the entity who filed the I-140 don't have to be the same. They do not have to be the same. Okay? Does the new employer need to file PERM and I-140? Yes, sir. But do they need to file it within a certain period of this switching of jobs? No. There is no limit, but of course you want to file quickly. Simply because you want to get to the end quickly, okay? Although the PD is ported, but the labor cert also can take time, right? Now, the next question is poor H-1 boy. Poor H-1 boy actually has it good. He's got two I-485s going and EB-3 to EB-2 porting. So the question, as I understood, was this. Old employer did EB-3, new employer did EB-2. I'm working for the old employer. New employer did EB-2. I have 485s going on, and I asked for the priority date to be ported. By the way, you don't even have to ask anymore. The way USCIS works these days is they do a monthly scan of your I-140s, and whichever earliest date you are entitled to, they give it to you automatically. That's part of the reason why you are seeing that they have sent you an RFE, because they have ported your old date to your new I-140. And my guess is the I-140 is asking information about a job letter from the new employer, the future employer, the EB-2. Okay? So the question he had was, I don't know which. They've sent me an RFE. They're asking me for providing a job letter, but I don't know, should I be giving the old employer's job letter where I'm working, EB-3, or the future employer, EB-2? And if I give the wrong one, is that going to be a problem? So the answer is very simple. Write it down just the way you said. I don't know what you're asking me, sir, but I'm assuming you're asking me for a confirmation of the availability of the job from the future employer. Here is the confirmation. Here is the letter from employer B. If you think I'm mistaken, I'm sorry, but your notice is all confusing. I don't really know what you're asking me. If you need a confirmation that I'm still working with employer A, I can provide that as well. Okay? Is that a big problem? You're not hiding anything from the government. This is legal. Okay? That's the way I look at it. Can I verify the interfiling? I think the proof of the RFE itself is evidence that they've already transferred the priority date. I think I've covered all your questions. FLN41025 asked me, I was recommended to speak with Rajiv by a fellow forum member. He said I should contact Rajiv because of the great information that you gave and the questions that I had on my post today. Please let me know if I should repost, link, or speak directly. You know, I don't have your questions in front of me. If you are on the phone, I hope you are on the phone. I can take your questions now. Otherwise, we'll have to wait till the next conference call. And if it's just yes, no questions, you know, don't make me write paragraphs upon paragraphs. If it's just yes, no questions, you can even send me an email to help@immigration.com, help@immigration.com. Next question is Imi Raz, applying for I-140 while out of USA. I think I might even end up doing something like a separate video for this because this is a problem faced by many people. They go to India. They get stuck on the H-1. They're not getting an H-1. H-1 has been sent back for evocation. In the meantime, the I-140, the labor cert got approved. The question is, can my company file for I-140 while I'm out of USA? Absolutely. Absolutely do it. No question about it. And convert it to consular processing, that's fine, because if you happen to come back to USA, you can always convert back to 485. That's very easy to do. Okay, converting from 485 to consular processing can be a little cumbersome, but converting from consular to 485 is quite easy. So what I want you to do is file the I-140. In the I-140, indicate that you're going to go for consular processing. Next question is Joy 3344. Joy, I looked at your situation, and because since 2009 July you have traveled out of USA and come back multiple times, I don't think you'll have a problem. You are on the phone. I think this is the question you were referring to. The only thing I would be concerned about, and I don't think it's a very big deal. I don't think USCIS is going to make a big deal of it. You see, sometimes if I've had a period of unauthorized employment or lack of status, and I apply for a conversion of status or extension, USCIS, at least in one case in the last 25, 30 years I've seen where they took the issue that, wait a minute, if you had told us that you had an out-of-status period, we would not have given you status within USA, so you lied to us. It never went anywhere. We fought that case. We won it. It never went anywhere, but every now and then they do that, and that was my only concern, that they could come back and say at some point of time, hey, you were out of status, and you know you didn't reveal that to us, so now we're going to slam you with a penalty. As a practical matter, I don't think it's a real concern. But discuss it with your lawyers. Make sure they are aware of the whole situation. Okay? But don't worry. You're going to be okay. I'm quite sure of it. Next question is from Bhatti. Who got the I-94 departure record or I-94 arrival departure record with 10 days added to the H-1 approval period? So when he came into USA, instead of September 25th, 2013, he got till September 25th. So instead of September 15th, he got till September 25th. So his question is this a problem? No, not really, because the way it works is when somebody has finished 6 years on their H-1, by law, they are allowed a 10-day grace period to leave USA. Many times, officers add that to I-94s. Unfortunately, there's no consistency that I know of. Sometimes they do it, sometimes they don't do it. So that September 25th doesn't bother me. Do you need to get I-94 departure record corrected? I don't think so. You had gaps before, but then you went and got the H-1B visa stamping and you came back. But listen to the question that I discussed, the one just before this one, Joy's question. I don't think there's a problem. I think you should be okay. Next question is from KJ Malviya. Malviya Saab, I don't think you can prepone your H-1B. There is no provision in law for that. Here is the situation. Wife's F-2 got denied. He's on F-1 OPT cap-gap. He wants to prepone the H-1 so that in some way start date can be preponed so that she can come in earlier on H-4. Well, it's nice and it's bad that you're missing her, but the problem is, under the law, the only people who could quote-unquote prepone are those who are working on quota-exempt jobs only if there is earlier quota available. Since last year's quota is over, you can't really prepone even if you are working on a quota-exempt job. So the answer is no, sir. But what you can do is you can have a check with the consulate. Many times, consulates, especially in India, are willing to take an H-4 application earlier, much earlier than they are supposed to. Typically, they don't take applications more than 30 days earlier, which is on or about September 1st. But because they don't want to get a whole lot of rush of applications, they might take it earlier. But even though she gets her H-1 stamped, it will not be. It will not have a start date before September 20th. You cannot enter more than 10 days earlier than October 1st. So that's the only thing I can recommend. Prasad121 wants to know, I'm in fifth year of my H-1. Perm was approved in EB-3. Audit was replied. Still waiting for a decision. How long does the EB-3 audit processing take? Well, audit for EB-3, EB-2 is the same. The time is not different. The current times are always on our website. If you go to immigration.com, in the right-hand side panel, under commonly asked information, there is a link to processing times, and you will find the processing time there. 6, 8 months, 10 months, somewhere in that neighborhood, as far as I know. Will my labor audit affect my future stages like I-140 and 485? No, it does not. At what stage can I port my EB-3 to EB-2? Once you have filed, well, you can start the EB-2 green card about 6 months after. That's what I would suggest. Apply for EB-2 green card about 6 months after your EB-3 perm is approved. That's what I would suggest. But you can actually port only after I-140 approval or at the I-140 approval stage. So get the EB-3, I-140 approval. In the meantime, EB-2 is going on. When EB-2 perm gets approved and you go for the I-140, at that stage you ask for the priority date to be transferred. What is the eligibility for H-1B extension after 6 years? There are two things important to remember. 106 and 103, two different sections. The way it works is, one section relates to 106 says, if your labor cert has been pending 1 year, whether it is pending in appeal, you got denial, then went to appeal, whether it is in audit, whether it is just pending, we don't care. When the 1 year mark is reached, you are entitled to 1 year H-1 extension. You can apply 6 months ahead, but you will only get approval date beginning from the date when your labor cert was pending 1 year. So one provision is labor cert filed a year ago. Second provision doesn't care, 104 doesn't care when your labor cert was filed. It only cares if the I-140 is approved. If the I-140 is approved and the priority dates are backed up, you are entitled to 3-year H-1 extensions. It doesn't matter when your labor cert was filed. Okay? What is the eligibility? Okay. What if my labor is still pending after my 6 years completed? Am I eligible for extension on 7th year? Yes, if your labor cert reaches its first anniversary, which it would, because you applied in June 2011 and you're only now in your 5th year. So obviously, beginning June 2012, whether or not the labor cert is approved, you can keep getting H-1 extensions. Rich ML9987. Fiance born in Nepal. She is born in Nepal and she's a citizen of India. Well, you know, it's the country of birth that matters. We had a very interesting case a few years back in which the gentleman was born in a village at the border of India and Nepal, and I think somewhere along the line there was a readjustment and that village was moved to India. And we still were able to get his green card approved under Nepal quota because when he was born, that particular area was under the jurisdiction of Nepal. Okay. Now, you can use cross-chargeability based upon your wife when you get married to her. when would I expect to get my permanent residency? Just look at the rest of the year's numbers. Instead of looking at India numbers, you will look at the numbers of the rest of the year. Rest of the world, not rest of the year. So look at the visa bulletin. From there, you can get a good estimate. Is there any reason due to which my green card application could get delayed or denied other than audits? It's just impossible to predict how that would work out. If you've been occasionally out of status, but then you traveled out and came back in, you should be okay, which you did. So, but again, listen to my discussion today of the question that I discussed for Joy a couple of questions before yours, so you have a better idea. I don't see any problem here overall. But discuss it with your lawyers and make sure they are aware of it. Until what time do I need to continue working for this employer after EAD and AP have been filed? Well, the law says after the I-140 is approved and the I-485 has been pending 180 days, I-140 approved and I-485 has been pending 180 days, you can change employers to a same or similar job. If you go to my blog, you'll see a lot of information on AC-21. AC-21 portability. What is AC-21? It's a law passed by Congress, I believe it was 2000, known as American Competitiveness in the 21st Century Act. American Competitiveness in the 21st Century Act. The idea was we want to provide some solution to people who are stuck at the same job with the same employer, and green cards are taking so long, so we want to figure out a way that they can change jobs without having to start all over. Okay? Today's last question is from VNMK. Returning back to USA on H-1B or AP? Well, first question Muthu has is this. Muthu says, my AP says, presentation of the original document prior to May 14th allows entry. Prior to May 14th means May 13th. So your question, should I enter on May 13th or can I also enter on May 14th? The answer is May 13th is your last date. May 14th, you will not be able to use your AP. It's not a silly question. It's a very good question. I was told it's valid for 1 year. Okay, no, don't use it on the 14th. Come on the 13th. Is it advisable to use AP or H-1B? You can use either one of them. I would prefer H-1B for some minor reasons, but you could use AP if you want. Personally, I prefer H-1B. If you have your visa stamping, then there is no problem. Yeah, it says my H-1B extension is stamped in India. Yeah, use your H-1B to enter USA. That's better for you. Marginally better, I would say, because if 45 gets denied, then there are certain things that you can do if you have entered on H-1 visa. Okay, I'm done with these questions. Now, if you guys have any follow-up questions, first let's take follow-up questions. People who are on the call who have a question, which is a follow-up on what they have posted. This is only for posters. Please press 5-star on your phone. 5-star. Press 5-star. One question, press 5-star. Two questions. Okay. It looks like there is only 2 follow-up questions so far. So we'll have plenty of time to deal with other questions. Now, let's begin with area code 203. Sorry, I messed that up. Give me a second. Okay. Area code 203. Go ahead, please. Sir, ma'am, area code 203. Okay, maybe you can't hear me. Area code 703,
254. That's me. 703 is me.
Yeah, go ahead. You're in my neighborhood, huh?
Yes, I am.
Well, you have to buy me a cup of coffee, all this free advice. I should at least get a cup of coffee.
Anytime, Mr. Khanna.
call me that, Rajiv.
This is my post is number 3 and my handle is poor H&Y. This is a crazy handle, but My question was, you know, I think when you were answering my question, you spoke about I-140. It's not an RFU on I-140. It's an RFU on I-485.
No. I'm sorry. If I misspoke, sometimes my mouth works faster than my head, and sometimes my head works faster than my mouth. I understood that it was a 485 RFP. I understood.
So my question to you was, you know, a lot of literature that I have read online and by talking to other friends, they have told me that you have to explicitly request USCIS to actually interfile your previously pending 485.
Actually, that is incorrect. From my understanding of not only understanding, observation, I have seen USCIS giving, and this is one welcome feature I have seen in the new operating procedures, they will automatically give you the earliest date you are entitled to.
I see. My second quick question, related question, Mr. Khanna, is so, for example, if I submit a letter from employer B, which is filed under EB2,
mm-hmm.
And
I know your facts. Yeah, you can keep telling me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which was filed under EB2, and then would the provisions of AC21 apply in any way, because the RFE that was issued on 485 was filed under EB3, and I'll be submitting a letter from an employer who just submitted an immigrant visa petition, which is I-140 on my behalf under EB2. So, you know, would it be a problem?
So, let me understand this. Your question is, my I-140 has been approved from both these guys, and my 485 has been pending more than 180 days.
That's right. I have two 485s pending, actually.
Okay, two 485s. Are both of them pending more than 180 days?
No, one was filed actually last week through employer.
Which is the new one, the one with the EB2 employer?
Yes.
Okay, now here is the problem. There is no doubt if you had one I-485 pending, there was a very good argument that you are entitled to AC21 portability through both employers. Because if you look at the Yates Memorandum of May 2005, I don't remember the exact wordings, but if you go to, one of these days I'm going to sit down and update our website with all the memorandum that are so important. People should have them. Actually, they are working on it right now. We'll have them for you. But in the meantime, go to the USCIS website. And they have memos arranged chronologically by year. Download the May 2005 memorandum on AC21 from Bill Yates. There's only three or four main memoranda that year. It will tell you that once the 485 has been pending 180 days, you know, I-140, 485 are filed currently. Let's say they stay pending for 300 days. 301st day, I-140 gets approved. Can I do portability? The answer is yes. Why? Because I-140 is approved, 485 has been pending more than 180 days. So it is not required that 485 be pending 180 days after I-140 approval.
Mr. Khanna, my question was a little different. What I wanted to know, if a company B submits a letter, then it would be in response to an RFE that was issued on I-485, which was filed under EB2.
I'm sorry. Can you speak up a little bit? I think my hearing is going.
My question was that in your opinion, you advise that it should come from company B, and if company B submits a letter.
I would submit from company B, making it clear, dudes, what have you sent me? I don't understand this question at all. But I think that's what you're asking me. Here is the answer.
Right. But my question was, if company B submits a letter in response to an I-485 that was filed through company A under EB3, the fact that company B offered me a job in EB2, would the provisions of AC21 apply in any way?
That's what I was answering. That was the question I was answering.
Okay.
See, how does AC21 apply? How does AC21 help anybody? It helps those people whose I-140 have been approved and 485 have been pending 180 days. There is no question that employer A's I-140, 485 are entitled to AC21 portability. The question is employer B also entitled to the same? Because their 485 has been pending less than 180 days.
Right, it's actually 7 days.
Yeah. So, but I would argue that 485 is redundant. You can use the old 485 and still do portability based upon employer B. So the answer is, in my opinion, they can both be ported.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you, Mr. Khanna.
You're welcome, sir.
Bye.
All right, going back to area code 203. Let's try again, 203.
Raju, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. I think I messed up.
Okay.
I unmuted you and then muted you again, and I couldn't figure out what to do.
Yeah, now. And I thought you were not able to hear me last time. So this is question number 6, Joy3344. I needed some bit of clarification. So when you said that there could be some issue in the change of status within the U.S., were you referring to my present change of status from F1 to H1 or at some other stage when people apply for?
Let me clarify a couple of things, Joy. First thing is, law is one profession where it pays to be paranoid. We sit down and we worry about every darn thing that can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then wherever possible, we try to create either methods of meeting those problems or avoiding those problems.
Right.
So when I look at this case, the only thing that could possibly go wrong, I'm not saying it is going to go wrong, that could possibly go wrong is an argument from USCIS. That guys, at one point of time when you applied for change of status within USA, you should have told us that you were out of status at some point. Okay?
I see.
But if it happens, if the change of status happens after you've traveled out and in, it is no problem. You don't have to mention it. So
I don't have to mention it. Okay.
You don't have to mention it. So the way I would look at it is, I'm just doing it this in the abstract because your facts are too long. In the abstract, this is the way I would do it. Each time when I applied for change of status and got it within USA,
mm-hmm.
was there any time during which I was out of status before that and between the time I entered USA? So let's say I entered USA on January 1st, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
I filed for a change of status in December 2011.
Right.
I only need to look at the period between December 2011 when I applied for a change of status to January 2011 when I entered US. Was there any gap in status there?
Okay.
And then I get my status. There's no gap. I got my status. 2 years went by, no problem. 2012, I travel out again. I come back, apply for change of status again. Again, I have to look between the date I entered and the date I applied for change of status. Was there any gap?
Okay.
So like
taking
a dip in the river Ganges, every time you go outside, you wash away all your sins.
Okay. Okay. That is very, very good. So because my out of status time was before the time I last entered in the U.S. on F1 visa.
So the only periods I worry about,
problem.
Right, the only periods I worry about are between asking for change of status and the date you last entered before that change of status.
Okay, okay. All right. That's very helpful. Yeah. Another thing you mentioned, the unauthorized employment, which I mentioned that I was working for a
again,
company.
Only those periods matter. Only during those times. Same thing.
Again, the same thing applies in this case also.
Same thing applies for both things.
Both things. Okay, that is great. So, I'll have to send a resume, detailed resume, mentioning all the work that I have done in the last 12 years when my lawyers apply for the change of status from F1 to H1 in the next 2 weeks.
I think it's only 5 years. I don't think it's last 12 years. But you can ask your law. I mean, look at the form G325A. What does it ask?
What is it? What form is that? Form G?
G as in girl. 325A
right.
As in apple.
325A. Okay.
Biographic information sheet.
I see.
This,
okay.
This is
so,
the sheet that goes to FBI for clearance.
Oh, this is the one that goes to FBI for clearance at the time of any change of status or any application
just
we make to
FBI. Just the 485.
Oh, okay. But right now I'm just changing from F1 to H1, so probably
no
this
problem.
Form is not.
You don't have to give last 10 years. I don't know why you have to give last 10 or 12 years resume. You don't.
Okay, I mean, it is the
I would, you know,
lawyers
if I were
who
you,
asked me.
I would want your lawyers to know exactly what your background is so they can make a decision for you.
Okay, all right. I mean, since I was not accepting any pay for this work that I did between March 2008 to March 2009, and the
company
was... It
shouldn't be a problem. The way it works is, if you look at my blog, I have an entry about unauthorized employment. USCIS says unauthorized employment occurs only when work is done for any benefit. If there is
okay.
no benefit, no health insurance, no money changing hands, it can't be work.
Yes, I pretty much did a pro bono work, you know, and there was no reward or compensation to me.
No problem at all.
So I can still mention, or I can still mention it in the
of
resume
course.
As...
Of course. If it's
but,
pro bono work and it can
know,
be documented, it's still work. It's work for one purpose, it's not work for unauthorized employment.
Okay, yeah, it's will not be considered unauthorized because
no.
there was no employee-employer relationship. They could not fire me because they had essentially, they were not paying me.
Yeah, that would work. It's actually, the reason is not because they couldn't fire you. The reason is because you did not take any money or benefits.
Okay, so it is fine to mention it in the resume because that's what I do when I apply for a job, and I applied, this was included in my resume.
One more time, the same question, I'm going to have to yell at you.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Sorry, I'm too concerned about it.
I know
it.
You want to be sure, but I think about things carefully before I say them. Don't worry. You're okay.
Okay, okay.
All right?
Great, great.
Good luck, sir.
Thanks a lot, Raj. You really appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, no, what did I do? Huh? Oh, well. I messed up again, I think. Okay. Area code 703? 703? Oh, no. This keeps going back for some reason. Give me a second, guys. There's something wrong with the system. Okay, I think what I'll do is let me see. Let me try one more time. Yeah, it keeps muting you guys again after I unmute. Let me try one more time. So 703 and 610 are next. Let me try one more time.
Conference muted.
I cannot unmute this one number for some reason. Area code 703, I just cannot unmute. Okay, I'll get to you in the end. Just hang on. Area code 610, go ahead, please. Area code 610. Okay, guys, there's something wrong with the muting-unmuting system. Let's do it this way. I'll unmute you all, but please mute your own phones, okay, and we'll deal with it one thing at a time. So first person I want to talk with is area code 703254. Next person I want to talk to is area code 610. The next person I want to talk to is area code 608. So, area code 203 is up again. That will be at the end. So, area code 203. So, once again, 703, then 610, then 608, then 204. I'm unmuting everybody. Please mute yourselves. Okay. First of all, area code 703, go ahead, please. Something wrong with your phone, area code 703. I unmute you, it mutes you again. I unmute you, it mutes you again. Please hang up and call back in again, okay? Area code 610, go ahead.
Hi, Raju, this is Prasad.
Hi, Prasad. What's up?
Yeah, hi. It is related to H-1 issue. My H-1B petition got denied from two times from past 3 months.
Uh-huh.
Hello.
Actually dealing only with follow-up questions now.
Oh, sorry.
Hang on. There's one more, two more people. Let me get to them, then I'll come back to you, okay? Hang on.
Okay, sure.
Area code 608, follow-up or new question?
Follow-up.
Go ahead, sir.
Namaste, Rajaji. This is Rahul Joshi. I think you know me now.
Oh, yes.
So my question is about my post. So I'm just trying to understand that there are two situations here. One is your I-140 is filed and approved, but I-485 is not filed. So in that case, you can still port the priority date, right? And
the way it works is, once your I-140 is approved, that priority date should be yours to keep.
Correct.
Okay.
So
as of this
morning,
that's the news I have. Tomorrow they might change again, but as of this morning, once the I-140 is approved, that priority date is yours to keep. You can start a second case anytime you want.
Okay. So for the second case, the new employer has still to file both firm and I-140, right?
Absolutely. The only time they can avoid doing that is when you are porting under AC-21.
Okay. Okay. So under AC-21, they just need to file a new 485 or
no,
new
no,
I-140.
No. Under AC-21, you need to do nothing. If you want, you can send them a letter that I've changed.
Okay. So in the first case, when the new employer has to file both firm as well as I-140, is there a requirement that the job should be the same or exactly similar to, like, because that's a requirement in AC-21, right?
Very, very good question and very misunderstood answer. The answer is, when you are doing just the priority date transfer, means you're doing firm and I-140 all over again, the job can be completely different.
Okay.
But when you are doing AC-21 portability, where you don't have to do PERM and I-140 again, the jobs have to be same or similar.
Okay, but can be with a different employer. Well, in fact,
can
will be with
any
a different employer
anywhere in USA.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Dhanyawad.
You're welcome. Good luck. Mute yourself, please. Back to area code 610. Did you still have a question? Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Raju, this is Prasad again.
Yep.
Is it just running late?
Yes. Yeah.
Raju, my question is my H-1B got denied from past.
Prasad, one second. Yeah. Everybody, please mute yourselves. Okay, let me mute everybody. Let me try again. Prasad, hang on one second.
No, I don't think
so. Conference muted.
Prasad, can you hear me? Damn. I think it's over. Guys, everybody, please mute yourselves. Prasad, go ahead.
Yeah, Rajiv,
So twice your H-1 has been denied. I got that point.
Yes. The first one was denied on January 13th. Okay. And immediately the same employer filed for a new petition on January 20th within a week's gap. And that is also got denied on, this April 9th.
Okay.
Now, I found a new sponsor who can do the filing.
Okay.
They raised a question when they asked me to send up all the documents, what I have, I submitted all my pay stubs till the last month. Okay. They raised a question saying that, see, from January 13th to January 20th, I don't have any status. Still, I got paid. But is it a concern for them, to file the papers?
Well, they will have to file, or they should be filing the papers as though you're going to go for visa stamping. I don't think it'll be easy to get status within USA. It's very difficult.
Yeah, they are saying that the old other attorney, who filed my second petition, they told me to leave the country before that 180 days figure. Is it true, or if I get a new sponsor within this
country? No. once your I-94 expires, okay, you could start having a problem. So let's say your I-94 expires on the 17th. You applied for your second H-1 extension or transfer on the 15th. Now, on 15th, you applied. 2 days later, your I-94 expires. 10 days later, your H-1 gets denied. From the date the H-1 gets denied, you start accruing that 180-day period of unlawful presence.
Okay.
So in a timely filed H-1, the period of unlawful presence begins on the date of the H-1 denial.
Okay. But my case is I do have a valid I-94 valid till next year.
Yeah. So still, from the date your H-1 is denied, you start accruing unlawful presence.
Yes. Then in that case, let us say my first H-1 got denied on January 13th. Okay. If I get a sponsor before July time, before July 1st week, within that 180 days time, if they file a new H-1, deals, do you need to leave the country and come back?
Yes.
There are
two different concepts in operation here: out of status and unlawful presence.
Mm-hmm.
Unlawful presence is a bad, bad, bad thing, but
okay. Out
of status is not very nice either. So the moment somebody has been out of status for even one day, chances are less that they will get an H-1 within USA.
Okay.
The fact that you've been unlawfully present less than 180 days does not mean that you will get H-1 within USA, because you've been out of status. If you've been out of status for even one day, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
They won't give you H-1 within USA. They can, but they usually don't.
Mm-hmm. Then, do you need to leave the country and apply for H-1?
Good luck with that. Yep. What you would do is the H-1 will be applied. The H-1 will be applied, and you will get your approval, but you'll have to go for visa stamping outside U.S.
Okay. Let us say before July, if someone files a H-1. And during that time, do you need to leave? And, once they get approval,
you should leave. You don't have to, as long as, because you're deportable. If you get deported, you can't come back for 5 years.
Oh, okay. But I... Okay. Okay.
Good luck.
Okay. Thanks.
Right, bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
Conference muted.
Okay.
Hi, Rajiv. Can you hear me?
No. 1 second. I cannot hear you. Area code, I just heard one part of your conversation. Which area code are you, sir?
203.
Okay. Go ahead. I'll spend another minute with you. Didn't I answer a lot of your questions? I have to go on to other people also, please.
I can wait if you want to hand.
Yeah, let me get the other people first. 610, I'm done with, right? Okay. 608.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Namaste, Rajiv. This is a different question, so not a follow-up question.
Okay.
This is Rahul Joshi again.
Yeah. Quick, Rahul. I have to go on to other people also.
Okay. Question is... H-1 extension approved, and after approval, I want to transfer to another employer. So
okay.
Do I have to be with my current employer after approval for a certain period of time?
No,
before
no. This is a very interesting question. A lot of people ask me this question, actually. The way it works is, I'm working for employer number one,
uh-huh.
Okay? My H-1 through employer number two got approved.
Mm-hmm.
What if I want to continue working with employer number A for 6 months? Can I? Yes. Can I leave right away and join employer 2? Sure. If the employer 2's approval is in hand, it's effective right away. So the choice is yours when you join. Employer number 2 has an obligation to make the job available to you within 60 days. They have to give you the job within 60 days or whenever you present yourself to work.
Okay.
But you can take leave from them and say, you know what, I'm going to finish my project and come join you in 4 months.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck. All right, guys, anybody has a question, speak up, please.
Yeah, Rajiv, I have a question.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Rajiv, one of my friends is not able to unmute himself, so I ask question on behalf of him.
Something is messed up with the muting and unmuting today. Go ahead, please, ask the question.
So this is the situation, Rajiv. My friend, he went to India, and he got a form from them. Instead of getting the visa stamped, he got a form from them, and he's not hearing anything from them. So one company contacted him regarding filing his H-1. The question he has was, since this visa is not rejected or approved, can he start visa transfer process with another company?
Yes, would this take
into consideration that his...
There are two possibilities why his visa is being held up.
Mm-hmm.
One possibility is some more information is required about his company,
mm-hmm.
the one who sponsored his first H-1.
Mm-hmm.
If that is the case, then filing through a second company is no problem because there is no issue with him.
Okay.
The second possibility is that there is an issue with him personally.
Okay.
For example, there is some allegation that he submitted a fraudulent degree or something. Then mm-hmm. even if he files a second case, he'll have the same problem.
Okay.
So, but in a nutshell, I don't see any problem with applying a second case.
Okay. No, I don't think he has a problem personally, but
yeah.
They have not asked anything from him. He's just waiting for them to get back to him.
Right. So the answer is go ahead.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks. Next question, folks.
Hello, Rajiv.
Just say a name, any name, doesn't matter.
Ati? Abhishek.
Abhishek, go ahead.
Okay. I have my current H-1 expires on July 18th, and the attorney representing me has sent an application for extension on 24th April. And I wanted to travel to India in the first 2 weeks of May.
Is this an extension, you said?
Yeah.
And you have an H-1 visa stamp on your passport already?
Yeah, it expires on July 18th, 2012.
So let me tell you the law.
And
the law is you can travel while an extension is pending without any problem.
Okay.
You can't travel if there's a change of status pending. This is just an extension.
Okay.
During the extension,
yeah.
Can travel, no problem.
If it gets approved, when I'm in India, will I have to go to stamping in India?
No, as long as you enter within the life of your present visa, you do not have to go back for stamping.
Okay, the lawyer was advising me that if I enter after the visa is, the visa is approved before I enter, that will be the last entry on my case and I have to file for the extension one more time.
That is incorrect. There is actually a memo somewhere that addresses this issue and they have very clearly said this is okay.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, Raju, this is Bhatti.
This is hello.
Yes, sir. Bhatti, I posted the question.
Bhatti, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Rajiv, I'm sorry. Actually, I know that I hope you're doing well. You changed the timing to 12:30, so I joined late a little bit. Sorry about that. This is regarding the port of entry, that issue, Rajiv. So the officer carelessly...
A problem. I've already recorded an answer for you, and the answer is, I'll summarize it for you. What they do is, at the end of the 6 years of H-1, you have a 10-day grace period to leave USA. So many, many times, USA or CBP officers will add the 10 days to your H-1.
Sir, actually, I'm on 8th year of H-1 right now.
Yeah, well, they make mistakes like that all the time. But if you want to get it corrected, what you can do is, you can contact CBP. Easiest thing to do is, just call up CBP at cbp.gov. Get from them the phone numbers and addresses of the CBP offices closest to you. Go in there and say, look, I'm on my 8th year, not my 6th year. So this I-94 should be corrected, although I don't think it's that big a deal.
So, sir, if I understood correctly, so if it is sixth year, it is okay, they add 10 more days. But if it is eighth year...
If you look at the regulations, they talk about sixth year. But when those regulations were made, there was no seventh, eighth, ninth year. That came later. So I don't know what the answer is. Immigration law is a big hodgepodge of inconsistent laws and provisions. All things considered, my judgment is there is no problem.
So there is no problem even if I don't get it corrected?
I don't think so.
So, sir, if I have to get it corrected, so I get the phone number from cbp.gov, mm-hmm. and then do I need to go to a local office?
Yes. Typically what they do is they either have you go back to the airport or they have you go back to a local CBP office where you bring in your I-94, they give you a new I-94, or they correct the same one.
So, okay, they correct the same one, and what documents do I need to take it with them, sir?
I would say just the H-1 approval notice, your passport, and your I-94.
Okay, and also one last question is, thank you. When I go there, because, you know, after like about 9 years or so, I went back to India to get my visa stamped with a lot of stress and tension if my visa will get approved or not. Now, if I go back to the CBP, this office...
No, it's not the same issue. It's not the same issue. They don't
There's
no interview. There are no questions asked. This is purely an administrative thing.
Okay. So it's not like they are going to reject the visa or anything like that, right, sir?
They cannot
change any status or anything. Okay.
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hi, Rajiv.
Rajiv, I have a question.
Hi, Rajiv.
This is your 3344.
Just say a name so I can hear something.
Akash. Hi, Rajiv. This is Alok.
Akash first, Alok second. Akash, go ahead.
Okay.
Hi, Rajiv. I have a similar condition as KJ Malviya, that I'm trying for my wife's visa, and I'm currently on OPT, and my OPT expires on June 30th, 2012. Mm-hmm. So I...
Nothing can be done, you know. We have to wait till about... She might be able to get her visa stamping earlier than September 20th, but she cannot enter USA before September 20th.
So if I file for a tourist visa through a tourist
company...
Not a good idea.
You can try it. As long as you tell the truth that, you know, my husband is there in USA,
mm-hmm.
You can certainly try. I don't think they'll give it to her, but you can try.
Okay. And can L1 visa suffice because her company to which she was working...
Yeah, L1 is no problem.
L1 is no problem.
No problem at all.
Okay, and just one quick thing, that in case that L1 also doesn't work, and if I try to get her admission on F1 here to a non-academic course, like a Strayer University or something, so
well,
what are the chances?
Your guess is as good as mine, what the chances are.
Okay, so it's the same.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Alok was next, or Akash?
Yes. Hi, Rajiv G. I'm sorry. I wasn't able to post this question on your blog, but I'm Rahul Joshi's friend, and I just thought I'll quickly ask you this question. It's about if I-485 is pending for more than 180 days, can I apply for my and for myself and my spouse's EAD right away, or is there any different procedure that I have to follow for the spouse's EAD?
No, if her 485 is also pending, first of all, there is no requirement that 485s be pending 180 days before you can get EAD. EAD you can get even before 180 days, of course. But in order for her to get an EAD, she must have a 485 pending.
Okay.
Okay.
And that can be in form of the same green card that has been filed, as in she will be a secondary applicant on my...
Yeah, and she is a secondary applicant, and you can file her 485 only when the PD is correct.
Yes, okay.
Okay, good
Thank
luck.
Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome. Name, please.
Joy 3344. Rajiv, one last question, please.
Let me have Joy. Joy, go ahead, please.
Rajiv, in my case... the first 2 points, this was the question number six, and the first 2 points on my question were, I had lost my job in 2008 on Feb 11, and the new H-1B was filed with a receipt date on March 24, 2008. And this went into security check, was approved 16 months after the receipt date. So what would I be considered during that period? I mean, my stay was out of status.
Well,
and lawful,
that's a long discussion,
fine.
Joy, I don't want to get into that. It's a very long discussion. I have given you a bird's eye overview of your case. I cannot dissect every element of it. We just don't have enough time. I wish we did. Let me go on to next people. You have a lawyer. Talk with them. I don't see anything that you need to worry about so far. Okay?
Okay.
We can talk about the hypothetical possibilities for hours upon hours. Okay? Let me go on to the next
one. All right.
Good luck to you. Next.
Hello,
name.
Rajiv.
Yeah, name.
Rajiv, this is Abhi.
Ajitesh. Abhi, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I am in my sixth year of H1 and I came to India for stamping and I got a 221G request.
Right.
Now my petition is about to expire in July.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a petition that I'm getting my visa stamped against.
Yeah, you have to apply for an extension.
I want to know,
have to apply for an extension.
Can I file for an extension?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, and my passport is with me, so can I go again for an interview with that extension?
Yes, sir, you would.
Or should I wait for this inquiry to be?
No, you should go ahead and go for a visa stamping saying, you know, the other one is expiring. Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay.
Rajiv, I just have one question.
Thank you, Rajiv.
Hang on. I'm not done with Abhi yet. Sit tight. Abhi, any other questions?
No, that's one thing. Second thing is I want to know, my client who I'm working with wants to take me in as an employee.
They can also start your H1 right away, no problem.
They can start the H1 family.
Yeah, you can have 20 H1s going
on
at the same time, as long as you have the good faith intention of joining any one of them, whoever can get you in.
Okay. Because this is my sixth year, I can still go for a transfer, right? I don't have to stick with
As long as there's even 3 months left, or even if actually just a few days left, you could still do a transfer.
Okay, and what if my sixth year is complete?
Look, the time that you're outside USA is not counted towards your 6 years. Any time that you're outside USA.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Rajiv.
You're welcome. Next question, guys. Name.
Hey, Rajiv. I'm Ajitesh on this side.
Yeah.
I actually got my I-140 and labor approved through my current company, but I'm planning to move to a different company. So is there any way I can take my already approved I-140 and labor along with me?
Only if the 485 has been pending 180 days. Otherwise, all you carry is your priority date.
Okay, so if it's pending for 180 days, then I can take both the documents along.
Yeah, if you file 485 and then move after 180 days of pendency, you don't have to refile the PERM and the I-140. You can just take a same or similar job and go on from there. Nothing has to be done.
Okay. You're
welcome. Any other questions, guys? Excellent. All right, we got everybody covered and in good time. I hope to see you in a couple of weeks, guys.
Rajiv, just one thing. Along with us, do I need to take I-140 documents along when I transfer?
You really need is... Let me think. What do we use? We use the I-140 receipt, copy of the I-140 receipt, and copy of the 485 receipt.
Okay.
So let me rephrase that. Copy of the I-140 approval.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
And copy of the 485 receipt.
Okay.
All right, guys. Good talking with all of you. We got done in exactly 1 hour. So see you soon. Bye-bye.